Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7, Radio Bilingüe. And our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874. And also, this show will be on the podcast at kxoradio.com.
Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Coming to you live from
and
the
luxurious studio. And happy belated birthday for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yesterday was Scott's birthday. But before we start, I have a couple of two little announcements.
Welcome to Maria's community calendar.
I know. let's see. Let's start with June 14th. We have the...
Next week, Tuesday.
The TDAP?
Yeah, I'd say it.
The whooping cough vaccination event. It's going to be... This is for students entering 7th through 12th grade in the fall. It's going to be held next Tuesday, June 14th, from 3 to 6 at Brawley Lions Center. Okay?
This is at Brawley. It's a new required vaccine because Southern California had this whole whooping cough.
So remember, this is at Brawley. We had one here in El Centro, and I think Public Health is still giving them out, but this is going to be a special one at Brawley, and it's going to be from 3 to 6 p.m. on Tuesday, June 14th at the Brawley Lions Center. The cost is $10 for the vaccine, but for county employees, if you take your health benefits card through the insurance, it gets paid.
Had that bad boy out yesterday.
So remember, it's next Tuesday, the whooping cough vaccination event at the Lions Center. And then on next day, on June the 15th, from 6 to 8 p.m., it's the Road to Wisdom, How to Survive the Teen Years.
For me, that's like a really long road.
It's the Road to Wisdom, How to Survive the Teen Years. So if you have a teenager that needs to be taking the whooping cough, do that and then go to the How to Survive the Teen Years. And it's going to be presented by Peter DeMano. He's a licensed clinical social worker.
Step one, get the whooping cough shot.
It's again June 15th from 6 to 8 p.m. at CalWorks, which is located at 2895 South 4th Street here in El Centro. And then it's going to be also held on June the 29th. So we'll repeat this next week from 6 to 8 p.m. at Pioneers Memorial Hospital, located at 207 Legion Road in Brawley. And it's a free parenting seminar brought to you by the Children and Parents Council to help strengthen families. And there's going to be pizza and refreshments provided. So if you have any questions regarding these two sessions, one here in El Centro and the other one in Brawley, call 760-353-8300 or just get the phone number from
next Wednesday, free presentation at CalWorks.
It's Wednesday, correct.
6 to 8 p.m., Peter DeMano, How to Survive the Teen Years, pizza and refreshments. So it's not only is it free, you can get dinner out of the deal. So,
I know. It's 2 hours. So.
Step one in surviving the teen years, because they create so much economic stress on the family, you need to go find free food.
And remember, if you have to take your child to get the TDAP, the whooping cough vaccination, that's a teenager. Remember, there's a
another cost savings thing here, right?
There's a how to survive the teen years.
Great.
I know.
Duck and cover, because Haley's like 4, right?
She's going to be five, but she's getting there.
Yeah. Get her first piercings lined up.
No.
You're welcome to the seniors. Hey, okay, 337-8874 is the phone number. Let's talk about it as a show. I'm Scott. She's Maria. And that's Norma
Avila.
Good morning.
Yes, welcome. You're a rehab technician, and you've got a special program that you work with, one of the Mental Health Service Act programs. So let's bring it into the room.
Good morning. I work with the Senior Access to Support and Services program called the SAS, and what it is working with elderly who are over the age of 60, have a mental illness, and or are in risk of homeless or homebound or isolating.
Okay. Is that you? Call right now, 337.
No, you know what? We have a lot. I mean, we have a whole population that's getting older. You know,
stop looking at me.
All you guys, all the baby boomers. That's okay.
I just had a birthday yesterday.
No,
feeling it.
I know. But, you know, we have our parents. We have our grandparents.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, one of the, and I can see that my dad's getting up there. And he's
your dad's like up there and over there and around.
He's 81. He's 81. But yeah. I can see some of his friends, you know, that are moving on, passing away, and he feels it. He feels it. So it kind of, for that kind of week or something, he's kind of quiet.
So senior access to supportive service. And by senior, we mean elderly people, not like graduating seniors from high school. Right?
No. Yes.
It's the grown-up seniors. The elders of our community, the respected ones that we pay homage to.
So what kind of services or what is the program? It's for seniors?
Well, it's a mental health program, so I'm guessing there's some mental health
but
in there
what
somewhere.
Is, for example, what is, exactly like Scott was saying, is it senior high schools, but what is the age bracket or what is considered the senior?
It's from the ages 60 and older. And we work on, depending on the individual's specific needs and impairment, one or more of the following will be provided. That we provide are medication support, crisis interventions, targeting case management, for example, linking them to social services, social security, or maybe in-home support services. A lot of them might need some type of special care, so we help them enroll in the in-home support services so they could have a caregiver to be taking care of them, taking them to their doctors. A lot of them to don't have Social Security or not receiving Social Security or any benefits, so we'll assist them in linking them to Social Security office and the social services.
Okay, so we've got this universe of people over 60, right? And
yes.
Those are the quote-unquote seniors. Mm-hmm. And some of them have mental health problems that are not being met. Is this for people with met mental health problems, unmet mental health problems? Where do we start with that?
Okay, to qualify for the program, you do have to have a mental illness. Mental illness, they could have, there's a few that are suffering from anxiety, depression, because they're getting older, so it's kind of difficult for them to accept.
Older, it's a joy, it's a pleasure to get older.
No, you know what?
You're lost in the, lost the illusion of youth.
It is a pleasure, but then when you see your loved one that you've been married for 50 years pass away.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or your kids all grow up and move away, and you end up, you end up here with your husband or your spouse, and they pass away, you end up by yourself. All of a sudden, you were surrounded by loved ones, you had your family, mm-hmm. but as you're getting older, your loved ones also pass away.
Yeah, life is changing.
Definitely. And that is very...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also, when they're not able to work, if they're worked
all
their
life,
and then all of a sudden they have an injury and they're not able to return back to work.
Or else work just doesn't want them anymore because they're old.
And you know, another one, drive.
Yes.
All their lives they had a driver's license, and now the DMV is saying, guess what? Mm-hmm. You're not going to get your driver's license anymore. You're not allowed to drive anymore.
Yeah.
Whoa. Isn't that like profiling, isn't it? I mean, isn't that like selecting?
Well, no, but that's
discrimination
security. I mean, that's
old?
No, that's security because if they can't see or they have,
they make it dangerous for other
people. Yeah, mm-hmm. A car is a weapon.
Indeed it is.
So, I mean... All your life, you've been able to work, and you have your loved ones, and you've been able to drive, mobility.
Yes, and it takes them a while. I mean, I had someone that he was actually, was working, and then all of a sudden, you know, he started decompensating little by little, so he wasn't able to work. He wasn't able to take care of himself, but he was in denial. He didn't want to receive any of the services, didn't want to receive in-home support services, because he said, you know, I could do this on my own. I still can. I might not be working, but I could still do this on my own until he started realizing that he did need some type of care. So he was placed at a nursing home, but he still didn't realize that he couldn't drive. And he goes to the DMV and tries to get his license, and they tell him, you know, we can't give you your license. He didn't pass the test.
Mm-hmm.
So he still went back. He goes, I'm going to go back and I'm going to take the test because I could pass it. So he went back and took the test, and he still didn't pass it. He couldn't be driving, but even though he didn't have his license, he still had his truck, and he still wanted to keep it there because he had hoped that one day eventually he was going to be able to pass the test and drive again. It took him a couple of months before he finally accepted that he wouldn't be able to drive. He wasn't going to get his license back, and he sold his truck. But it was difficult for
him. It's interesting that whole kind of refusal to accept things is like, could be like the recovery thing, right? Because it could be that stubbornness that actually helps that person get better. But at the same time, sometimes it's kind of tragic because like they're hanging on. And it's like, oh, just let it go. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's hard. And then, for example, this individual, he was isolating himself after, you know, he wasn't able to be going out, wasn't able to drive. So he started going into depression. Okay, so one of the things that we also do is link them to, like, Day Out or Alegria program so mm-hmm. they could socialize with other people. I did mention to him about Day Out, and there's another program in Brawley. It's the Senior Nutrition Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I he was like, well, I don't know if that's something for me. So I took him so he could go see it, and he goes, you know what? He thanked me. He said, you know, thank you for bringing me to these places because, I know you want me to go out and socialize. But these are for, these people are too old.
Old.
They're too old. I don't belong here. This is not for me.
I think that's another thing. It's just that the refusal to, hey, you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't consider themselves old. They're still wanting to do the things that they want, and it's just, sometimes they can't.
Yeah.
We want to grow up too fast, and then once we're grown up, we don't want to give it back ever. We want to be a young adult forever. How cute. You know, okay, so one of the things, though, I was noticing when you were kind of throwing some stuff out that happens to people as they migrate through those years, and it sounds like it's almost like a clue as to what people in the community can look for in terms of who might need this type of support. Because, you know, we mentioned all these changes, and it sounded like you know, if people lose their jobs, if they lose their mobility, if they lose their housing, if they lose their partners,
mm-hmm.
if they lose their health, that the rest of us need to kind of look at those people and check in and say, hey, how you doing? Are you all right? And if they're not all right, maybe they need some support.
Yeah, how do you get your referrals? Or how do they get into the program?
We get referrals from different agencies or from the community. They'll see someone that is maybe isolating themselves, or they suffer from a lost one, and little by little start getting depressed. So they'll refer. There's a referral process. There's a form that they have to fill out, or they could just call us, and I'll myself get the information, and I go do a screening to the person's home, and to see if they do meet the criteria to be in the SAS program. And this is a very mobile program. So if the client is not able to go to our clinic,
you're the guys in the park doing the hula hoop every day.
Yeah,
is that
uh-huh.
it?
That's it.
Very mobile.
So we go to their homes if they're not able to come to us, and that's including the nurse and the doctor.
Because that's one of the things that gets that may be really marginalized is your ability to. I mean, if you're elderly and have mobility problems and don't have a car, then you may not be able to walk down to the bus, or you mm-hmm. may not be able to climb up those stairs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So having a mobile program becomes really important.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the person is able to go to the clinic or go, you know, come and visit mm-hmm. us, but because they're so depressed, they don't want to. So we'll go to their house, and eventually they'll be able to go to the clinic.
I think that mobility is a major part of it. We've mentioned that other the person that you were working with,
mm-hmm.
they couldn't drive anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know there's a bus, but it's just... It's
we
so
take
difficult.
It for granted how much we like
yeah,
driving.
Yeah, we can just get up and go, and what if they're just homebound? They can't drive because they don't have the mobility. I mean, they're bound by a wheelchair, or, you know, just have really bad arthritis, or, you know, you don't know. And sometimes we pass these senior citizens or elderly, or what is the proper word? Senior?
Yeah, elders.
Elders.
I like elders.
And we just
kind of
pass by and you know, we see them, but we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was true story, driving down Imperial Avenue yesterday, and I saw a gentleman in a wheelchair, like old-fashioned wheelchair, not one of those like motorized ones, and he had a cane, and he was walking down or wheeling down Imperial where the high school is. Like, so it's that long, long, long block,
mm-hmm.
and it's blazing. It's like 4:30 in the afternoon. It's like really hot outside, and he's going like about a half mile an hour mm-hmm. because he's got this cane and he's got this wheelchair, and he's just going super slow. And I'm like, whoa, it is hot outside, and I don't know where this guy's headed, but he's nowhere near anything right now. And it's I should have probably referred him to you guys.
I was just gonna say, did you stop and get his information?
You know what? I've done that. I've done that. Right. You know, I've seen elderly people walking mm-hmm. with bags, you know, this not giving him rides. I told him, you want a ride? You know, he was like in his probably 70, late 70s, maybe, and gave him a ride to his house. You know, he had grocery bags. He went to, I guess, the closest thing to where he was living, where I dropped him off. It was Rite Aid. So he got his, you know, stuff, milk, and, you know, that's as far as he can go. So I just gave him a ride home. And he was just thankful. And, I mean, like, I don't know.
Did you screen him for the program?
You know, I think, no, I didn't. But he was, I mean, he was, but he was just, you know, elderly. And I sometimes think, then you look back at my own dad.
Yeah. So, but,
you know,
but we can't count on
people checking. That's somebody, you know, that could be my dad.
It sounds like there's this kind of social responsibility because those people may not be connected.
Yeah.
You know,
I said, you know, maybe their kids are grown up and they moved away and made their own lives
over
there.
Kids. Some people don't have kids, you know.
Yeah.
Just getting old.
And they're here alone with no other support.
And they didn't get into Veterans Administration or they didn't get in whatever Social Security stuff's going on. And so they don't have this kind of agency-based referral stuff that other people may have.
And even if they did get in the Veterans, they're not aware where the services are located here.
Well, you guys, how long the supportive services to seniors, how long has this been around?
It's been out for about 4 years or probably a little bit longer.
Yeah. But
around there?
Even then, it's like an emerging program.
Oh, yeah.
How many people, how many seniors have engaged?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we also come across homeless. You know,
and
a lot of them, they're homeless because they can't afford their deposit, they can't afford their rent, or they don't know how to pay for their rent, or they can't manage their money.
Oh, yeah, bottom line, Social Security, inexpensive, I mean, the basic Social Security for people who didn't get, like, lots of extra when they worked isn't very much money.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Not in California.
And they can't save up to say, well, I'm going to save this up and pay for the rent and for the deposit to get into a new place.
$4 gallon gas, you know, or whatever.
And there's a long list for apartments for seniors.
Yes, there is.
It's a long waiting list.
Well, and as a senior, you may not know somebody with a pickup truck. So how are you going to get your stuff moved? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It gets complex as you get older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also help them with if they're homeless and they need assistance with, you know, apartments, and we could, if the funds are available, to help them with their deposit and their rent to get them started.
What about the guys on 4th Street? There's like they look like they're over 60. I've got like 3 or 4 guys that see on a regular basis over there.
We have received referrals from people that are completely homeless living in the park. They don't want to be in the program. They don't want a home.
This is voluntary.
Yeah.
It's all voluntary.
We can't force them. Unfortunately, we can't force them.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't want to force them. But
yeah.
So there's already been some sort of outreach.
Yes, there has. And some of them do want to receive our services. Some of them, they say they don't need it.
What would you do if some of these people don't really have their paperwork nailed down, especially if you've been homeless for a while because you've been losing important documents or whatever?
Well, one of the first things they first need to get to even apply for Social Security is they need an ID. So
you can help them and guide them through those processes.
We'll guide them to the process to get the documents that are required.
If they meet criteria,
yes.
Yeah.
And to meet the criteria, they do have to have all three. Be over the age of 60, have a mental illness, homeless or at risk of being homeless, homebound.
So they might have a home, but they might can't move, in other words, homebound.
Yes. Or they might have a home, or maybe let's just say homeless, but they don't suffer from a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
They won't qualify for that.
What's the capacity here? How many people can, I mean, I know lots of old people, right? Yeah. How many old people can we have in this program?
20.
20 at any given time?
Yes. Currently we have 11.
Mm-hmm.
When people come into the program, is this typically a stabilize and say goodbye thing, or is this a lifelong relationship, or how does it work?
No. Eventually, when they get into the program, what we want them to do is be able to do some of the things on their own, so we'll guide them, and then they get referred. They continue receiving psychiatric treatment, medication, and they are transferred to a team, but discharged from the SAS program.
Okay, so you engage with them and work with them and stabilize and get them to some level of okay, we got this basically stabilized and under control, and then you bid them adieu.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
But I think that the difficulty is trying to get them into the system, into mm-hmm. this program. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still, you know, even though we have this radio and we have really awesome advertisement in the newspaper and in magazines, it's still the stigma.
Media blitz.
Yes.
Yeah, there's still that stigma. Mm-hmm. If I were to kind of go to my dad or to, you know, somebody like, goes, what? No, I'm not going to go. I'm not crazy.
Do you think with elderly uh-huh. people that's a stronger stigma?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. You know, they can, you know, they're very set in their ways, and, you know, that's how you're not going to change them. And
How much of that is, I mean, there's some stigma in about yourself having a mental illness, right? I mean, like, I am depressed is a hard thing to say or whatever. But there's also with elderly people, one of the things I saw growing up at the feet of my elders is this kind of distrust of systems in general. I mean, this kind of distrust of authority. Those people. and is that part of this too? I mean, do you guys have to sell yourselves as being, you know, competent or useful to these populations?
Yes. And then some of them also, they have the stigma, and then they can't accept their age. They're not getting older, so they don't want to. They start refusing our services. You know, I don't need it. I'm not old. I'm not getting old.
Give me a bottle of oil and I'll be good.
No, I've had people that I've known that, you know, they you go to restaurants and you can get discounts. That's for senior citizens.
Why do you think I've been dyeing my hair gray?
And they refuse. You know, they're like, what? They've gotten really offended when, you know, the waitress or the, oh, you know, you can get a seat. What?
Are you talking to me? I'm 40.
You know, just, they, you know, they,
I'm not a senior.
Exactly. Even though the age they fit, uh-huh. it's the age, you know, uh-huh. but they still refuse. Mm-hmm. No.
And I think as they get older, it gets harder.
Clearly, not Midwestern people, because Midwestern people, we'd all be like, yeah, I'm a senior and I'm a college student. Did I get like 20% off? Yeah, we wouldn't be turning out discounts. Come on.
You met Westerners.
We're taught that as kids. And discount, good. Always get your discounts. So it's interesting. There's you've got a stigma of mental illness. You've got a stigma of age.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And somehow you've got to reach out to the community and sort through population. It mm-hmm. sounds like a real challenge.
It is a challenge. I've gotten referrals that the person has a severe mental illness, and then and their place is they're not homeless, but they need help. They need somebody to go take care of them, take care of their home, and they still refuse our services.
You're a really sweet kid, but no thanks. Something
yeah.
like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'll see you later. I don't need it.
Well, they get angry.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I've known people, you know, elderly that they end up with a stroke or and their mobility has been
compromised,
major, you know, and they get really angry. They're very angry because mm-hmm. they can't and they don't want help. And it's even for the family member, it's very hard because you want to help them, but they get very angry and always in a not a very good mood.
You know, I think there's a belief
behind
that.
But it's because all their lives they probably worked and were able to move and this and provide for the family, and all of a sudden they can't. And
yeah, no, our self-worth was determined by our ability to take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And now so, you can. Yeah, now somebody has to feed you, clean you, and
yeah. So don't suggest that, because now you're saying that I'm not worth anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not pulling my weight.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's very hard. And we have to, as family members, and realize that, you know what, the self-worth, it's not their quality of the way they lived before is no longer. And
also, for the family members, it becomes overwhelming, mm-hmm. taking care of them, stressful, and they want them placed maybe at a nursing home where they could receive a little bit more care that the family is not able to provide, and they start giving the family the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
You take me, you don't love me, mm-hmm. You don't want me around. So then the family starts feeling
guilty. Well, the family's
guilty.
Already feeling it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And it's okay, so what do we do? You know, I want this person to receive some type of help. I want him to go to a nursing home, but then I don't want to feel bad. I'm a bad person.
Well, yeah. The stigma of letting your family down
yes.
in their
yes.
final days. Ouch. We're here with Norma Avila. She's got the Senior Access to Supportive Services program in her back pocket, and she's sharing it with us today. This is Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in the Imperial Valley. We'll be right back. We'll talk a little bit more about what we do once people get in this program.
You're listening to the complete podcast version of Imperial County's Behavioral Health Service, Let's Talk About It, brought to you by KXORadio.com.
And welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio for Imperial and Mexicali Valleys. And, of course, we are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health. And our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
Podcast.
The podcast?
Yeah.
Yes. And also this show will be on podcast at kxoradio.com.
So if you got seniors or, you know, something like that going on that you want to re-access the program, kxoradio.com, Let's Talk About It.
Yes.
List of podcasts, the newest is first.
And if you have any questions too for Norma, you can always call us at 760-337-8874.
I was in there at the website the other day, because kind of browsing through. We've got like a list as long as your arm now of shows going back like 2.5 years.
Yeah, and this is a good information. I mean, I have my parents, you know, a lot of us still have our parents, luckily. And this is a service that we might...
And our children have us.
And our children have us. But, of course, for me, it's going to be a very long time.
Well, and you're training Haley to, like, walk away. Just walk away from the old people, right?
No.
Not my issue.
But, you know, this is a good information. We hopefully we won't need it, but if...
But
it's needed.
It's
here.
Well, and the other thing is only 11 people are in here right now. I'm betting they're seniors right now, today, this minute, that could fit in this program. I'm betting you could fill it up to 20 this afternoon, and all those 20 would be legit people. I mean, there's got to be 9 more seniors with mental health problems that aren't currently getting their needs met in the community, right?
Yes. So if anyone knows of any seniors and want to refer them, they could always call our Brawley office, 351-2831. That's my direct line.
That's Norma Avila.
Avila, yes.
Rehabilitation technician for the Senior Access to Supportive Service Program.
She's message.
There you go.
Yes.
And talk really loud because, no. So out of the people that you've worked with in the years this program's been up and running, that you've been there, what typically diagnostically is going on with them? What types of mental health disorders have you seen?
Mainly, a lot of the seniors that I've been working with suffer from depression and anxiety.
Okay.
Really severe depression.
So it's like big depression.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, they isolate themselves. What do they do? Maybe some symptoms.
Yeah, what does that look
kind
like?
Kind of the family members. Yeah, family members or neighbors.
They start isolating themselves. They don't want to socialize with no one. They just want to stay in their room. They can't do things. They start feeling very depressed, or they're having fears. That somebody's out there to get them, and they don't want to go out.
Hmm. Is that something that they show to other people, or is it something they just kind of guard and keep to themselves, or what's it look like?
No, they actually, talking to one of the family members, they've mentioned to me, you know, I've caught him, he's asleep, and he starts shaking, or he's suffering he feels really anxious. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to go outside. Or if I'm taking him to the doctor, be careful. Watch out for that car. You're going too fast.
It's kind of hypervigilant.
Yes.
Almost.
Well, I mean, this is, and especially for the depression, and there's been information and reports that there's a high rate of suicide among elderly. And that's something to be concerned of. We need to pay attention for our elderly people, you know, if they're isolating themselves or getting into depression, because there is a high rate of suicide among the elderly, and also a high rate of prescription abuse.
Yes,
also.
Or some of them, they don't know how to take their medication because they're refusing to receive care or having somebody give them their medication, so they're overdosing themselves.
Yeah, that's the health thing,
yeah.
A big part of the aging thing, huh?
Yes.
Like all these different... I've seen some people really medication-reliant when they're older.
They carry these little things,
weekly planner thing for pills.
Yeah, the daily, you know, certain times. But, yeah, that's what I've been reading, that there's a lot of elderly people, have, you know, with suicide.
Yes, yes. And I mean, because, I mean, it's hard for them to accept that they need help, that they're no longer able to do things on their own. So, of course, that's going to cause them some type of depression.
So if you've got somebody who's elderly and withdrawn, and in particularly if it seems like it's a change, right? I mean, that they kind of, you know, if it's one of those people that just kind of like hanging out by themselves forever and they're still doing it and they don't appear to be distressed by it, probably not a big deal. But if you've got somebody whose life kind of shifts and turns and all of a sudden they're self-isolating and all of a sudden they're really wound up or really nervous about what's going on or really not feeling, you know, no, that's okay, I'm just going to sit here and wait around to die, you know, that kind of thing or whatever.
Or they're having crying spells.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Then those are the people who may need support. Do people start with you and work their way back, or mm-hmm. and you could help
that
guide people
good.
If it doesn't fit with you? Or
that would be a good start with you. Okay.
Yes.
Phone number?
351-2831.
Okay.
Or they can call Behavior Health, too, and then they can just say, I need services for my father. I want the SAS program. They can direct you there.
Yes.
So you guys, who's,
the
what
senior
happens?
Senior Access program.
You guys come out, you said mobile earlier mm-hmm. in the show. So you guys come out, do you have like a Humvee vehicle or some sort of desert-ready four-wheel drive?
Yeah, that
thing,
would be nice.
That would be nice. But I don't think we have the money for that.
Do you come out like I don't know, like NCIS or something in a big unit? Or
that would be nice.
That would be really nice.
I know, huh? A motorhome where you can go in, park, and just, you know. Get everything there.
They have everything in there.
Okay, a mental health mod squad for elderly people. I don't know.
Also,
But you come to the door, I guess. Pursuing the question. And you start by screening?
Yes, we do a screening. Let's say the person does not meet the criteria for the SAS. We don't just leave them.
They say, okay,
goodbye,
sorry.
Go get services somewhere else. No, I actually link them to other services before I leave.
Mm-hmm. Before you disengage, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How do you know if they have a mental health disorder? Is that something where you have to assess, or can you just ask them a couple questions like a screening and figure it out from there?
No, there's actually an assessment that I have to do.
Okay.
So, wow. Has it now, services, are they just provided in English, or it's also...
It's English and Spanish.
And Spanish. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if I referred my neighbor, you guys are just going to show up at his house?
No, they're going to do a referral.
He already has kind of got some issues with me, so...
Scott, really?
No, actually, my elderly neighbors are, I don't have as many anymore. They passed. But, wow, great people. Wonderful neighbors. But if I referred an elderly neighbor, I guess let's go back to that question.
It has to be voluntary, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
it has to be voluntary. Uh-huh, voluntary. And
would you guys act on that referral? Or
yes, what happens is you do the referral. And the referral, I mean, you're going to provide me with their name, their address, phone number, and what type of mental status they have, if the person is aware of it.
I think they're kind
not.
Of depressed, or I see they're not, they're not coming out as much as they used to.
And if you're not sure, that's okay. As long as I have their name, address, and phone number, how to get in contact with them, I'll go to their house and do a screening to see if they qualify for the program.
And if they're interested, then.
And if they're interested, yes. Sometimes I get a lot of referrals from Adult Protective Services. Mm-hmm. The person is not aware that they're being referred to the SAS program. So when I show up, they're like, who are you?
Yeah, absolutely. I could see that happening. That's mm-hmm. why I was kind of going that way.
And so I explain mm-hmm. to them what I'm there for, who did the referral, and I ask them,
Ed McMahon, and this isn't the sweepstakes.
I do not leave.
Do they get are they angry, or are they just...
No,
surprised?
They're surprised. They're in shock. Like, why are you here? Who sent you? Why was I mm-hmm. sent to this program? And I explain to them the type of the services that we could provide and why I'm there. And it's up to them after I ask them a series of questions if they decide to be in the program or not, if they do meet our criteria. And anyway, it's optional. You don't have to.
That's good.
Nice. What kind of information do you bring to help support your case, I guess?
Well, we let them know, you know, if they need assistance for maybe receiving their Social Security. First, I ask them, you know, if they're receiving Social Security, if they have any health benefits. And they'll tell me, no, I haven't. I don't know where to go. I go, well, that's what we're here for. We could help you with those type mm-hmm. of services.
That's good. Yeah, because it's going to be very complicated.
And
yes.
you were mentioning that if they didn't have a mental health problem, but they had these linkage needs at the same time, that you'd stick around and kind of help that end, right?
Well, I refer them to that linkage. So then I don't just let them go.
What if they're not mobile? What if they're, I mean, what if they still have all those kind of problems without the mental health disorder? Is that a tough referral?
I mean, yes, it will be a tough referral because if they're not mobile, there's not a lot of linkages that we'll be able to be.
And then it's getting harder with these budget cuts.
Yes, it is.
The services are being decreased during the most time that you need it.
Yes. So it is.
Okay, so you guys, you're both younger. Just remember this while you're voting for people. Someday you too will be of this age.
I know.
If you voted for people who got rid of everything for people those age because you weren't that age, now you're in trouble. Okay, just kind of point that out.
I know. I need to secure my future too, you know.
Exactly. You know, you think it's all going to be wine and roses.
I know. Right now, we're thinking about it, but later on.
So did the people who are old today and are facing challenges. They thought it would be wine and roses too. And, you know, it's just, sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
I know. So it's getting tougher. I mean, that's when you need more services. But, you know, the good thing is that the SAS program, the Senior Access, is here, and it provides the services. Mm-hmm. It has unlimited capacity, but, you know, those 20, you know, like you said, once they get better or they get stabilized, then they get referred to the regular mental health programs, adult.
Yeah, you mentioned that most of the people that come in, Norma, are anxious or depressed or both. With mental health treatment, are those things that can be like taken care of?
Yes, and it feels.
Do you de-depress people?
Yes.
Undepress people, whatever it would be called.
It feels good when you like, for instance, this gentleman that was refusing to sell his car, thinking, you know, he was still going to be able to drive. It took him some time to finally, little by little, when he was referred to the program, he was homeless. And he was staying at a friend's house or a neighbor's house, and then the neighbors were moving, or a friend. He was going to be homeless and risk of being homeless. We get him placed at a boarding care, and you know he's refusing to be there because the people that are there are elderly people. So that was hard for him to accept. And then, but I go, you know, I'll be coming over here. We're going to be going to apply for Social Security. We're going to do your Medi-Cal. It's like, okay. And then getting him to realize that he's not able to drive. So what we do is, you know, I ask him, you know, what type of activities do you like to do? When I took him to the day out, he says, you know, I don't like that. When I took him to the senior nutrition center, he doesn't like that because there's people there that are too old that he doesn't fit. And so he would tell me, well, you know what, I like to go for walks. And I said, okay, this person is his balance, his walking mobility is not as stable. So I said, okay, but how about if you go walking with somebody with you? Or let's, when I would do my visits, let's go for a walk. So I would go for a walk with him. And little by little, they start accepting that, oh, it's okay to have somebody. That way I have somebody to companion me, so I could be talking to somebody when I'm walking.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So what I'm hearing is when people come in and they're depressed, that they're focused on their losses. They're focused on the things they can't do. And they're kind of, because they've got that kind of negativity, they're looking at anything they could and going, eh, I don't want to do that. Those people are old or, you know, whatever. And what you do, I guess, is what I heard was like you basically engage them in things that they might like. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of point out to them how much fun they're having.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. For instance, like this gentleman, you know, he says, oh, I like to go for walks. You know, I could do it on my own. And I go, well, how about if I go with you?
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like the key is finding things that give people, you know, different areas of meaning in their adapting, changing lives.
Yes.
And dialing in and focusing on those things. Mm-hmm. You know, because eventually, if we're lucky enough to live that long, the walk may be no longer possible.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be the crawl or the, you know, sitting on the porch or whatever it is. And then you got to find meaning there, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you're the meaning lady. You're the person. You're the person who figures out. There's an angle on this, and I'm going to show it to you.
Yeah, the population right now, the clients that you're serving right now, are they mostly male or female, or do you have a mixture? Is there?
Yes, there's a mixture.
There's a mixture.
Mm-hmm.
And how often do you meet with them to do kind of this? Let's go take a walk and deal with your depression thing.
Well, it depends. When I first get them referred to the program, they're being referred because they're suffering from a severe mental illness. So I'll go maybe twice during the week, depending. mm-hmm. depending on each individual.
What's the difference between severe and not severe?
Well, some of them might be
severe. Severe is mine, and everybody else's is not that big a deal.
Yeah, I know. Well, it depends. I mean, some of them are depressed, but not as depressed that they're...
That would be depressing, well, by the way, to be depressed but not depressed enough.
Yes. Yeah, not depressed enough.
That might push me over the edge.
They could be depressed but still taking, you know, being able to take showers, food,
yes.
and everything.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And for those, you'd probably refer them to the primary physician.
Yes, yes. Or there's some that are very depressed that they need assistance to take showers, or they're not even bathing.
Now, do you give the semi but not enough depressed people the same kind of general guidance and pep talk, I suppose, that you do when you work day by day with the people who are more depressed? Like, you're a little bit depressed. One of the things you can do when you're a little bit depressed is go back and find meaningful activities in your life and re-engage or find new things
yes.
and fun things to do. So you give these people something to walk away from.
Yes.
Okay. That's important to me, obviously. I wouldn't be bringing it up. But the really depressed people, so I guess the severely depressed people, those people need more day-to-day coaching to get wherever they're going to get.
Yes.
Also family. Do you get family involved?
Yeah, and I think it's very important to have the family involved. So because they're the ones that are actually caring, some of them are the ones that are actually caring for the individual.
Well, and that's, you know, we talked about establishing meaning.
Mm-hmm.
There's some meaning.
And also, I had a individual that he kept telling me he was bathing. And if there's not a family member
there... I did that when I was 9 years old. Mom, yeah, I took a bath.
And if there's not a family member there, I go by the word he's telling me. You know what? Oh, okay, you did bathe. And then the daughter or the son would tell me, no, you didn't. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. So that's how I also get more information from the individual.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 9 years old. Yeah, I took a bath. I brushed my teeth. And I did my homework. Anything else?
That's the opposite. None of that.
No. And what happens is you know, there's a tendency to kind of go backwards that way
mm-hmm.
when, you know, you're getting older and go back to those types of patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you make sure he takes a bath now?
That's difficult. But
check the tub for evidence.
Yeah.
Look at the shampoo bottle. Let's see.
Oh,
I'm marking the shampoo bottle. I'm going to be back next week. I expect it to be down.
Yeah, they're like, throw it out of the sink. I'm like, yeah.
No, well, the family members usually keep me posted of what's going on, how they're doing. And also, I mean, you get to see their appearance when you go.
Their hygiene.
I mean, you could tell when somebody's bathed and hasn't bathed.
Is it possible? How easy is it for people to reengage with this process? Because really what you're looking, it sounds like, is basically, you know, especially if you're severely depressed, you've kind of given up on life. You know, you're kind of just like sitting back and trying to get it to go by as quickly as possible or something. How are you able to get people like back to looking forward to waking up and having fun? And
yes, you know, I had an individual that was referred to us to this program. He was actually working, and he had back surgery. But during the back surgery, there were some other complications. So now he's not able to work. He stays home. So he went into a severe depression. And they're trying to apply for Social Security. They didn't know how. They're trying to apply for Medi-Cal. They didn't know how. They didn't know how to complete the paperwork. So everything was falling apart. And, you know, we just can't do this, or he just can't do this. So when I showed up and I told them, you know what, this is what's going on. This is what we could do. This is what the program offers. He was happy. He was like, you're going to help me do this? You're going to help me do that? So that actually, it does help. So now when I go to the visit, he still, when I first went, he was isolating himself. Mm-hmm. He wanted me to see him in his room. And I said, no, let's go to the living room, you know, to get him out of his room.
Open these curtains. Let the sun into the house.
Yeah. And now I'm doing my home visits outside his home.
Good.
Nice.
You know, for some people, I don't know if it's good or bad. For some people, especially with the elderly, if they can't they're not as mobile, having access to the internet. But, you know, that costs money to have a computer, mm-hmm. have the service, but you can keep yourself.
Old dog, new tricks.
Yeah.
You know, one of the disconnects with the internet
mm-hmm.
is that if you grew up without it, you actually have to start, like establish a brand new relationship with all this technology stuff.
But, you know,
some people do and some people don't.
But there's programs out there that offer, you know, access to the internet, and they teach you how to use the internet, mm-hmm. especially in its programs, especially classes, especially for people that don't know how to use the internet.
No, not learning new things is really good for your brain at any age.
And just having, being able to get contact by email or Skype or, you know, just Facebook or the social medias, mm-hmm. you know, having that connection with people you can't.
I sat down with my suegra the other night, and I showed her people in Fresno, because they have Facebooks now, right? and we're friends. And I was like, I can go to the site and click on all the pictures. Say, look, suegra, here's all your people.
We just had a small earthquake.
Uh-oh.
Still going.
Yeah, okay. 337-8874 KUVO. Well,
duck,
no, because if you're listening on podcast, that didn't happen on podcast.
Yes, exactly. Duck and cover.
Yeah, uh-huh. We were following perfect earthquake procedure there, or sort of. Mario's checking.
How strong that was.
People. Well, you know, we were just coming the other day, my daughter and I. We haven't had any lately. I'm starting to miss them. I said, don't say it that way.
I'm sorry, but I can live through these better than the tornadoes. The devastation that Joplin. They had in Joplin, so.
Oh, yeah.
I know. So.
I've been in towns where that is, versions of that, not that bad, but versions of that have happened.
Yeah. So, no. I'll take the earthquake.
Amazing critters.
I'll take the earthquake any day.
Yes.
Except going you can back, see them coming.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But going back to, you know, just trying to connect people back into society or just having my, I just gave my mom a Kindle. And she loves to read. She loves to read. And sometimes they can't go to the library. She has a library card, but sometimes now it's getting, you know, just busy,
right,
whatever.
Right, accessing reading
accessing,
materials.
Yeah, and it's the Kindle. You just download it within, like, less than a minute. It's there.
Well, and for elderly people, you can pick your font size.
Font. Make it bigger.
Backlight it.
Mm-hmm. Make it bigger. It's awesome.
And actually, when they learn something new, they're like, they're not able to do some of the things that they were used to do. But they're learning something new.
And
that
she's like,
them,
whoa, she's pretty. I mean, just, you know, other people see that. Good. How can you see, you know, how can you navigate this?
Yeah.
And she knows how to navigate it now. So, yeah, those little things they see. Oh.
Is that one of your tricks? I mean, like basically taking an interest survey of the people you're working with?
Of what they're interested in. So that way, to show them, okay, well, you're not able to do this, but what you used to do, but you could learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
And when they start doing it, they're like, oh, this is nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I like it. They don't focus so much on what they used to do, but they're focusing on what they're learning.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So they don't sit around and regret what they can no longer do.
Yes.
Their losses. Uh-huh. That's depressing.
And that makes them want to learn something else.
You know, there's people, you know, the elderly that don't know how to use the ATM machine. You know, just doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that they need
to
learn.
Stop looking at me, because I don't know. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They don't know, especially now that they're touch screens. Now they're touch screens, and now you used to put the money in the machine. Now no envelope required, and it's all these little things. You know, renting a movie through one of those $1 machines.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Just things like that.
Little things like that
we take for granted. Mm-hmm. That we know. Okay, we navigate it. We're fine. We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. But the elderly might not be able, their technology is swabby, and so you have to kind of walk it through them. And
no, that's absolutely. Well, you know, and it occurs to me, maybe this is another angle for this, is that by this, as much as there are new things and wonderful, cool things in the world for elderly people to re-engage with, to find and find meaning in their life, well, the flip side of it is this, they've got a lot of stuff they can teach the rest of the world.
Yes.
So is that another angle that you could take and maybe get this on here?
Yes. I had a lady who she wanted to learn how to, I don't know what it's called, but it's not crocheting. It's like this.
Macrame?
I don't know if it's macrame, but they make like scarf. Mm. And so she learned how to
knitting,
do that. Maybe.
Knit one, purl two?
Probably.
Yeah.
By the way, 4.0 on the earthquake? Is
4.5.
Okay. And centered?
Baja.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, that makes sense because it was a little bit not that strong. So it had to be a little bit farther away. Okay, perfect. Life goes on.
So this lady, she learned how to do the scarf. And then so I said, oh, my gosh, that's really good. And for me, that was something interesting because I've never seen it. So I go, how do you do that? how did you make all these little designs? So she's right there showing me. She was so excited showing me what she's doing. Look, I do this, I do that. And then you have to go like this, and you have to do that. And I go, well, this is really nice. You could show other people how to do this. So for her, it made her feel really good because she could teach someone else.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is really figuring out what value people have and how that's going to go forward in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to be disposable.
Well, the thing in some cultures, they take the elderly people, they're honored. They're just, they offer so much wisdom. And sometimes here in our culture, yeah, in our culture sometimes, it's the opposite.
On to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. But in the other cultures, they're like the elderly, they're the people who are the wise, the wisdom. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that carry the stories, the traditions, and people look up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes here, it's the opposite.
And some of them, all they want to do is just talk.
Mm-hmm.
Want somebody to listen to.
I love to hear the stories.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
They're interesting. They're interesting.
They are. They are what they did when they were young, and it's great. I like it.
Even like, because there's some of the questions that I'll ask them regarding their education. Well, I was not able to go to school, or there was no school, or it was just a little bit harder.
School of hard knocks.
Yeah.
I had to walk 10 miles.
Yes. And I go, so how did you learn how to write your name? Well, my uncle had to teach me, and we had to do this, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so interesting.
That's very, yeah.
Okay, let's recap for people who may want to help seniors access this program, or seniors themselves. We know you're listening because you're my friends. Actually, I do. I get more like listener feedback from people over 60. So there you go. There you go, guys. It's all about you. So for people who may be interested in this, let's go back and hit the criteria and give your contact information, Norma, once again.
Okay. To qualify for the SAS program, you need to be over the age of 60, have a mental illness, homeless or at risk of being homeless, homebound, and just call us at 760-351-2831, and we could take all the information down, or I'll take all the information down.
And if they heard it on Let's Talk About It, you'll give them stuff? Like coffee cups and pizzas and no?
No.
You used to look like, what? Well, but your gratitude, okay?
So, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you for coming aboard today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me here.
And let's try and fill up the program. That would be really, 20 people today,
nine more people today.
Referral, yeah. Please send a referral. Next week we have Marcela Perdomo, and she's from Motiva Associates. So.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. I know them, and that's going to be a fun show.
It's a big show.
Do you want to do your community calendar at the end of the show?
Sure, Scott, I will.
Besides the earthquake.
Besides the earthquake. June the 14th, Tuesday, next Tuesday, June the 14th, at the Bali Lions Center from 3 to 6, they're going to be providing the whooping cough vaccination, the Tdap, that's for students entering 7th to 12th grade, and it's going to be at, again, the Bali Lions Center at 225 A Street. The cost is $10 for the vaccination, but if for county employees, just take your health card, and that vaccination is covered with your benefits.
So next Tuesday, next 3 Tuesday. To 6, mm-hmm. Brawley Lions, whooping cough, save your trip from El Central.
And then, for all the people that are taking their kids, their teenage kids, to the vaccination, or they can also go to the Road to Wisdom, How to Survive the Teen Years, and it's being presented by Peter DeMano, and it's sponsored by the CAP Council, the Children and Parents Council, and it's going to be held June 15 from 6 to 8 at CalWorks at 2895 South Street in El Centro, and on June the 29th from 6 to 8 again at Pioneers Memorial Hospital Auditorium, located at 207 Legion Road in Raleigh, and it's free. And pizza and refreshments will be provided. So
we'll see. Let's talk about it. We'll be there in the house.
And we'll mention this
again
next week.
Eating the free pizza.
Yes.
Not sharing. Great.
No.
And we'd like to thank Peter, because Peter's one of those people that has given it up to the community
for many years.
So. Yo, welcome back to the Road of Wisdom. I remember, it's like 10 years ago or so, or 7-8 years ago, it was his Road to Wisdom was rolling along. So brought it back. Cool.
I have no idea what he's talking about, but that's okay.
She's young. She's young. All right. Thank you, Norma, for coming aboard today.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you, Norma.
Listeners, and have a great weekend.
Yes, have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.